house shall be a house of prayer for all peoples. We hear that in the first reading, a beautiful prophecy from Isaiah. And I think it's important for us to sit with that, especially in a time when so much, as within the entire history of the church, so much is being asked of the church. And we, the house of prayer of God's people, I think for us to sit with that prophecy, to sit with that promise, is really important because it's very multifaceted, like all of the Old Testament prophecies are. Because the great thing about a prophecy is that it has an immediate meaning, an immediate context, and it has a future context that plays itself out for all eternity. And so for us to sit with this promise that my house of prayer will be a house of prayer for all people, that God will joyfully draw all people into his house of prayer, it's powerful for us to sit with. Because right now I want us to look at the fact that there's two different dimensions right away at that today's scripture brings out. The first in the gospel, obviously, is the reality of the eternal aspect of this promise. That the heavenly kingdom, the house of prayer and praise, where we will be joyfully celebrating and praising God for all eternity, that is a place, a reality, a promise that is not just to a specific people, but to all peoples. The reality that as God becomes man at a specific time and place, as he enters into a chosen people, that the reality that breaks open is that is meant to bring salvation to the entire world. That's an incredible theme from today's scripture, a revelation, because it's something that especially the disciples are going to struggle with all throughout the Gospels. They recognize the Messiah, but to them, the Messiah is sent for their liberation, that the people of God, the Israelites, at last would be freed. And slowly, Jesus is foreshadowing and showing, look, this is for the salvation of the entire world. That this house of prayer would be a house of prayer for all peoples, for all nations. And ultimately, we're going to see that the disciples don't really fully get it until the ascension, that final commissioning to go out to all the ends of the earth and preach the gospel. That's when it finally clicks that everything we were doing, it was about the salvation of every person in this world. Beautiful, eternal, and universal peace of that promise that this house of prayer, the church that Christ was building, would be a house of prayer for all peoples throughout all time and space. But I want us to look a little more immediate because I think that's the other dimension. The other reality, as I said, with all prophecies, there's an eternal aspect and there's an immediate aspect. And I think that we can take this and we can sit with it right here and right now. We can apply this promise that Christ gives, that God gives through the Old Testament, this promise that is throughout all of Scripture, this universal aspect of our faith. We can sit with it right here, right now, in our parish. It's interesting because this phrase is actually the phrase that Christ quotes. He quotes Isaiah when he turns the tables in the temple, when he throws the money exchangers out. He quotes that this is supposed to be a house of prayer for all peoples, and you've turned it into a den of thieves and merchants. I think this draws it to the immediate. It draws it to even here in Columbia, Missouri, for us to ask very personally, all right, how am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I participating in this promise that this would be a house of prayer for all peoples? There's a lot of dimensions to that. It could be with our invitation and our hospitality. It could be connected to as simple as how we treat every person who encounters us as Christians. It very much deals with whether we are desiring the good of others above ourselves, spreading that mission of Christ, that all would come in and find Christ present in this house of prayer. And I want us to focus on the second reading. Because there's a lot of sassy people in the scriptures this weekend. And of all of them, for some reason, St. Paul is just sticking out to me. Because he's speaking to the Romans. He's writing to the Romans. The Romans, Gentiles, pagans, they're not the people of God. They're not the Jewish people. They're not the people to whom Christ was sent and actualized and lives out his mission, teaching and preaching. And yet, they become part of the mission. And when we get this second reading, St. Paul is saying, I, the apostle to the Gentiles, I love that I'm ministering to you guys, the pagans. Because, and he kind of tongue-in-cheek implies it, but he's basically saying, look, I'm a big deal among the Jews. And he is. We know that from Scripture. He in the Jewish people, he was cream of the crop. And so his conversion has such an incredible message. But the fact then that he doesn't minister to his own people, that he who very easily would be able to explain to his own people how Christ is the fulfillment of the prophecies and the law, instead he's sent to the pagans. And he says, I love that because I wanted to make them jealous. I hope they're upset that I'm sent to the pagans instead of ministering to them. And he doesn't say it jealous in a way that I think we often intend jealous. He says it in a way that means, I hope they're stirred to recognize the promise. I hope they're stirred to recognize what has been given to them so that they can say yes to participating with that. Because ultimately, that's really what it boils down to when it comes to relationships. Whether it's our relationship with Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, whether it's our relationship with our family members or our friends, saying yes is an important piece of a relationship. And ultimately, what St. Paul brings up, he's pointing out that the call, the gifts from God, his desire to be in a relationship with us and to draw us into a relationship, it's irrevocable. It's never ending. It's constantly there. And so the moment my brothers and sisters realize what they have and start to say yes, because they see that the Gentiles are saying yes and their lives and their cultures are being transformed, well, then when they start saying yes too, it's going to save them and transform them. This promise of salvation, that this church that we are building is meant to be the salvation of all because it brings us into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. When we say yes to that, it transforms and it brings that reality to fulfillment. And so this weekend, I'm sitting with the Romans. I'm sitting and I'm listening to St. Paul and I'm asking, oh man, maybe yes, I can look long term, but immediately, day to day, where are the moments that I'm saying no? Where are the places in my life right now where I'm saying no to that promise? Whether it's in the way that I treat other people or when I fail to do what I should have done, that I know I'm being called to do, because that call, that gift, it's irrevocable. It's constantly there. And my participation in it is a yes or a no. And I know that there are times when I say no. But we also know with certainty that a yes flourishes, that a yes transforms. And we see it throughout all of Scripture, where a yes changes the world. And it draws peoples and nations into relationship. So for each of us to reflect this weekend, for each of us to use the graces of this celebration, this liturgy, this Mass, to be strengthened and more open to say yes. And it could be something huge like our vocation. Yes, completely giving my life to the mission that God is calling me to. Because that call is irrevocable. Those gifts are there and they're ready for a yes. But it could be something as simple as my day-to-day decisions today that I'm being asked to say yes to. The invitation to others, how I treat others. Yes to loving others and desiring their good above myself. Right now, where are my no's and where are my yeses? Because this place is meant to be a house of prayer for all peoples. We are meant to say yes to the mission of Jesus Christ, drawing all people into relationship with him. Because that yes, that mission, it transforms the world.